Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Be honored this day. We implore, we give praise. You are the one that lives outside of time and you live outside of eternity. You are the one that does not depend on anything for your existence. Everything came out of you. Everything came out of you. Everything came out of you. You spoke them into existence and by your hands you molded them. We have not comprehended the power of your might. It has not yet been revealed to us. Lord, we are asking that even today you will bring glory to your name. Lord, you will bring glory to your name. Bring glory to your name. Bring glory to your name. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, this same Jesus, the angel said. He said, this same Jesus that you see go will one day come back. It will one day come back. It will one day come back. Yes. It will one day come back. Name above all names. Jesus. Name above all names. Beautiful Savior. Glorious risen Lord. You are the risen Lord. We thank you. You are the one, that creation, we acknowledge that you are Lord and Master. We thank you for this morning. We ask of you, Lord, that you reveal yourself to us again. A dimension of your personality that we may live. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. I'd like to first of all thank the Lord that God has added to us. Amen. The family of the Gideons, hallelujah, have a beautiful baby girl. And we thank the Lord for it. Praise God. You know, it's possible to go into the world and not come out. Excuse me. Oh, my shelter. But God has been good to us. Mother and child are fine. And we are trusting God. That soon and very soon, Lord preserving our souls in life, we'll be around for the child to wed. Amen. Our life. To sit down as grandpas and look at the young man that wants to marry her. I say, well, they're the fair more. No. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Eh? No, I'm saying that. I'm just looking at the young man. And the young lady, I said, we were there when they born you. What is one that is doing fine girl? We were there. You know, my twins, when they are doing fine, but my auntie called and said, you are so tiny like this. Glory to God. Yeah, this morning I must confess my inadequacies again. I had no message to preach until this morning. Praise God. A thought has been running through my mind for a while, and I think I need to just share it. It's not fully developed. Maybe as I speak, the thought will come in fruition, into full fruition. Amen. I know some of you must have battled with the concept of sin and concept of failures. So you have failed, and I know some of us are read the book of Romans. You've looked at those promises, and you agreed with those realities, but somehow it's as if it's not true for you. I don't know whether you understand me. Now, can you give me Psalm 78? It's an experience of the psalmist that I want us to go over. Verse 2. Is this 78? When he began to speak about the testimony of God. 74. Go to 74, I beg your pardon. Give me 74. Go and shele you. I'm going to go try 73. Amen. Look at 73. Thank you, we gave pastor. That's another Coca-Cola to your cup. He said, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as have what? A clean heart. The psalmist agreed that God is good to Israel. You know, it's possible for you to hear people's testimonies and agree that it is true. You know, there are things that God can do, there are things God has done. And you accept it as truth. Hallelujah. And it says, especially to those who have a clean heart. Now, verse 2. He now said this, and this is the caveat I want us to consider. He said, but as for me, amen. As for me, I agree God has been good to Israel. I accept all the testimonies that others have shared. Praise God. But my personal testimony is, however, different. My experience is not the same as others have testified. Amen. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well near slipped. Praise God. Why? I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Most times, and in most ways, we've heard that God will punish the wicked. We have come to believe that it cannot be well with the wicked. Praise God. And unfortunately, you that you have decided to serve God, we can't see the testimony of you serving God. Can you relate to that? You can't relate with what I'm saying. You are trying to feel what the pastor said this morning. Look, it is true that not all of us have testimonies of answered prayers. Am I communicating? We have prayed and, as it were, God has not answered. And so we came up with this theory. I know when you were a small person, just give your life to Christ. God likes to encourage you. Sure, you understand. But now when you grow up, as I say, no, I will not answer that prayer. Have you had that excuse before? Have you also given it? So I agreed to it, you know, up to an extent. One day I came across the scripture, I said, his promises are yea and they are amen. So if your prayer was not answered, it's not as if God was teaching you patience. Something just wasn't adding up. Am I communicating? But that was your experience. So you'll be a liar to say it's okay when it is not okay. I don't know whether I'm communicating. That is not faith. It's not okay means it is not okay. What makes it faith is after acknowledging your present situation, you also agree that the word of God is superior to your present situation. The problem with us is that we never go that far. We get stranded in verse 3. And because it's not good for us, and we have seen the wicked prosper, that just seems to mean that God does not just, you know, just stay inside, me, I just stay my side, and I will bear with the situation until I die. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so that has been the experiences of some of us. In the last few days, one of my sons said, what happened to the prophets? They prophesied Trump was going to win. Said, it is over. All fake prophets. And I could see the trajectory. Now, if I don't stop this young boy, he will not believe anything again that men of God will say. Praise God. That the prophet spoke and didn't come to pass does not mean that God does not speak. And it does not mean that God has not been speaking and God will not speak to men. Praise God. Your personal failure does not mean God is a failure. Praise God. And so you and I must come to the place of learning. And so if you read Psalm 73 to the end, he said, it was until I came into the house of the Lord, then did I understand their end. Because when you look at the wicked, they are prospering. They get away with virtually everything they are doing. We call for justice, and there was no justice. We call for many things. The whole world said, no, we don't want to hear. There's nothing you can do about that. But that's why you must understand that there's going to be a final judgment. Am I communicating? There's going to be what? The final judgment. So this thing has your hope. The Bible says your hope is your anchor for your soul. It's an anchor. It depends on where you are placed. If it's on a sand that is shifting, you will be shifted. That's why it has to be on the rock. Amen. But this is not my emphasis this morning. I just a digression. And so when we come to the issue of sin, we find out that we agree with Romans chapter 8, but in reality, you are still having challenges. Everyone say, yeah, oh, the spirit. We just talk about spirit, but in reality, have you stopped walking in the flesh? Have you stopped walking in the flesh? Now, let us pay attention to chapter 8. Let's go to Romans 8. Praise the Lord. Romans 8. Do I have the time for this? Go to chapter 5, verse 5, I beg your pardon. I'll come back here. He said, they that are after the flesh. Pay attention, please. Pay attention. They that are after the flesh, what is it about them? They do mind. Do you have another translation there? Give me another translation. Thank you, the Amplified. Those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires set their minds. Now, it is easy for you to think that your desires control it, but actually the reason why your desires are unholy is because your mind has been set on something. I don't know whether you are following me. Your mind was set on something. That was what generated the unholy desires. It's not the other way around. Are you with me, church? Because we need to pay attention to those things. It's very, very simple, but at the same time, if you don't grasp it, it's going to give us some complications down the line. The holy desires did not come because of anything. It came because of your mind. It was a decision as a person you made. You made a decision before those desires began to come up your mind. If you made up your mind, I will not look upon a woman, the issue of desires will not come up. Hello? Job said, I have made a what? A covenant with who? My eyes. That I will not behold a woman. He made up his mind. It was a mind and he took a decision. It is the decision that comes first. Not the other way around. The desires did not come for the decision. The decision came. Now, if you are the kind of person, no, audit your life. You took a decision that it does not matter. The it does not matter was a decision. I don't know whether I'm making sense. It was a decision you took. And once you took that position, then you gave your heart permission to process thoughts that you should not process. Praise God. The mind. They set their minds and pursue those things which gratify those desires. You vent, you give your mental faculties, you give your mental energies to process those thoughts. So the decision you made, it starts with the decision. Hallelujah. And so where comes decision making? If part of your being makes a decision. I'm not going to spirit, soul, and body today. But that aspect of your heart is called the will. You've heard about it. Willpower. Some of us are weak in that area. And that's why you need the power of the Holy Ghost. Because you are weak, and that's why you need a quickening. Because for you to say no, Titus chapter 2, verse 11, can you jump there? Praise the Lord. I said I'm developing the thoughts as I go along. Titus 2:11. This is what grace does for us. For the grace of God that doeth what? That bringeth salvation. The primary source of problem is sin. Is that not so? So what brings salvation is what? The grace of God. There is that grace that bringeth salvation. He has appeared unto all men. Verse 12. What does he do? Teaching us that. Denying ungodliness. What does it mean to deny? It means to prevent. It means to disallow. It means to stop. Am I communicating? He does not allow it to grow. It stops its operation. And how does it? You say it teaches us denying ungodliness and worldly lust from being processed, from gaining ascendancy in our minds. It trains us. There's a training that grace does for us. And I've told you many times, grace is not unmerited favor. It's not favor. They don't deal with favor here. Favor is a concept that stands on its own. We all need favor. The Bible says the Lord will surround the righteous with favor like a what? Like a shield. It's not, we're not dealing with favor. This is not favor here. It will tell you how to deny it. That you will not give it permission to operate. Now, do you remember Brother Cain? You remember Brother Cain? You know it was a brother. You don't know it was a brother. Cain was a brother. A brother that murdered his brother. Praise God. How do I know? John spoke about it. We should not be like Cain, who murdered his brother. Hey. So was a brother. Praise God. When he was contemplating those thoughts, God spoke to him. He said, sin is at the door of your heart and is knocking. Praise God. And his desire is to overcome you. So God warned him. But what did Brother Cain do? He left God's presence and opened the door. He refused to deny sin entrance. He could have denied it. Because those thoughts were selling him. And he could have said no. But he did not say no. And so, after he allowed it, James said, after you have conceptualized it, once you accept, I said, I agree, conception takes place. Praise God. And it may take place, the rest is action. It may take 30 years before you act it out. But once conception has taken place, heaven has recorded it as a seed. Praise the Lord. I hope you are with me. So what does grace do? Grace teaches you how to say no. It teaches you, not only does it teach you, it empowers you to say no. So when the thoughts are coming, and I just had Archbishop Bidawasa has said this. He said you cannot prevent a bird from flying over your head. But you can prevent the birds from laying a nest on your head. Praise God. That thoughts will not assail you is a lie. That I am now holy. Holy. Am I Lord? I think not any evil. You will think evil. It will cross your mind. Thoughts will come to your mind. And that's how we know that some of those thoughts may not emanate from you. Some of them are coming from outside of you. Praise God. But for you to yield is the issue. Am I communicating? Because if there's nothing inside of you, what is coming from outside will not work. So, but because those things are there, you also must find a way of stopping it. And that's the primary difference between you that is born again and he that is not born again. Because he that is not born again has no access to grace. Amen. Of course, he has a self-will. He may choose not to fornicate. He may choose not to have more than one wife. But that still does not mean that he cannot be committing adultery in his thoughts. I don't know whether you understand what I'm talking about. You don't have to act it out, but you can still commit adultery in your thoughts. You can still murder your thoughts. Sometimes I commit murder. I just thank God that I've not been able to carry it out. Especially Okada. Praise God. If I tried that, I thank God that God has not allowed me to carry it out. But I have to learn how to, I have to also repent that this thought is wicked. They are counting it against me. Praise God. You understand me? Those of you that drive cars. It's there. It happens to us. But it's your thought life. Your thought life is where the battle is being fought. That's why you and I need what? Grace. Hallelujah. Set sin light at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. But Cain did not rule over it. Cain yielded. Cain gave sin a gave him full access to his heart. And from that, everything that controlled his life was processed. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So back to Romans chapter 8 that we read. Said he has set his mind on everything that is not right. How do you control the setting of your mind? How do you control? And here, again, brings me to something that many of us don't pay attention to. The power of our imaginations. Our imaginations is one of the most powerful component of our souls. The ability to imagine. God said of man, said what they have proposed, what they have imagined, they will do. Your imagination is as dangerous or as powerful as what you choose to use it for. Praise God. For those of us who have sinned before, you will know that many of the things you did, you have played them out in your mind before you carry them out. Especially the one that requires planning. Amen. You have to plan before you could commit that kind of sin. So it's an imaginative kind of sin. It's something that plays in your mind. And so whoever controls your mind controls your heart, controls your soul. Whoever controls it controls your life. Whoever controls it. And so there is this battle that you and I need to understand is being waged. And you must know how to fight and win. And one of the instruments of fighting is the Spirit of God. How to enhance and make use of the resources of the Spirit to win this battle. The end time program of God, of course, it has been planned out. The end time program has been planned out. But just like salvation, which each man had to receive, each man also has to go fight and win his own personal battles with this respect to the issue of sin. Praise God. If you hold the belief that we cannot but sin, then you have made God a liar. But if you agree, okay, God, we cannot sin, but I don't know how to go about it, then maybe there's still hope for you. Amen. The truth of the whole matter is that the technology of overcoming sin and death has been given to us in the Bible. It's there. It has always been there. And that's why our eyes of understanding needs to be enlightened. Amen. But to give an answer, I don't want to do an exposition on Romans 8. I just want to show some examples here to help us. There was a story of a man. Genesis chapter 20 verses 1 to 8. I want to show you a concept. I want to show you a type of how God can help us. Genesis chapter 20 verses 1 to 8. I don't know what happened to the... Are you there? And Abraham journeyed from there towards the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou art taking for is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her. And she said, "Lord, will thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, 'She is my sister'? And she even herself said, 'He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this.' And God said unto him in a dream, 'Yea, I know that thou did it in the integrity of your heart. For I also, what did God say he did? From sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her.'" Now in the earth realm, did we see God appear to Abimelech? We didn't see God appear to Abimelech. But God said, "I was one that prevented you from touching her." Can you imagine? Can you imagine the scenario? That Abimelech had no time to remember that Sarah was around. Maybe it was desire, but I only believe that the man became very busy. So what if I run you? I went to meet you early again. Sister, there's trouble in Lagos. What's happening there? They will be on that one for hours throughout the whole night. By the time he's going to bed, he has no time to remember one person. Then the following morning, while he's waking, it's just like when we wake up and we are pressing our phone, bang, I'll be sharing it. Before you press your phone, bang, they will come again. Sister, there's one line in Kano. Boko Haram is there. You have no time to open something. So God said, "I withheld you from sinning." Amen. So when you ask me, is it possible not to sin? It is possible not to sin. It is possible. Because God can withhold you. God can help you. God can stop you. God can prevent you. Do you remember a man called Balaam? Remember Balaam? Who was going to prophesy. And God didn't want him to go prophesy. Amen. You remember the story. And an angel stood in the path and would not let him go. Praise God. And the Bible said three times The donkey will not pass. He will rather hurt Balaam. And Balaam began to speak, and the donkey replied, and they began to converse, and they were arguing. The Bible said he was already mad. If I slap my dog, I say, kilo jete, bite me. Demon will run. But they were arguing. How did you do that? You were bite your dog before you do your hair. Must you do it now? And they were arguing each other. And yeah, I said, if not for this donkey, I would have killed you. The issue is that if the angel wanted to kill him, he would have killed him without the donkey. The guy will roll over and die. No, that fall down and die anointing. Praise God. God didn't want to kill him. God just wanted to prevent him from going committing the sin against him. Am I communicating? So God does help. And so the psalmist learned this secret and began to pray prayers. Look at Psalm 17 verse 8. Okay, no, let's go to, leave that one. I don't have time. 19:3. Give me Psalm 19:3. Jump this one. Give me Psalm 19:3. Look at the prayer of a psalmist. Now, listen to me. In fighting these things, you must realize that you cannot do it in your might. Your brain power, your training can't help you. I was telling somebody, if integrity is by degree, Maurice Iwu, a professor, foremost professor of virology, should not have rigged the past election for Obasanjo. One of the most corrupt men in the world that I know, apart from Obasanjo. Professor Maurice Iwu, do you know him? Very intelligent, very brilliant man, but all crooked. Somebody said, our VC must do paper. I said, VC shift is done by paper. If the man has no integrity, he has no integrity. Do we not graduate students based on good behavior and proper learning? Is it not only learning? Character and... Why is it now that you make a professor because of just learning? Kini o ko balance. We should not make anybody professor if he doesn't have character. In fact, we should not even let him be a lecturer if he doesn't have character. To become a president of Nigeria, if you don't have character, can't be a president. But we will think that revive, but no problem. Where are you? I said 13, not 3. I said 19:13. Hear the prayer of the psalmist. It says, keep back thy servant also from what? Presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. You know what they call presumptuous sins? Things you presume and said, Kumata. Shemo. Olo Ururu. You know the Olo Ururu program. Your AC is too much. Presumptuous sins has killed many. And it's still killing people till today. So he prayed to God and asked God, keep your servant. Keep your servant. I want to believe the sin that he committed against Uriah and Bathsheba was because God removed his hands and left him alone. Presumptuous sins. I want to believe that David got to a point in his life that he felt it was cool. I can handle anything. That kind of sin, I can't do it. And he said, my mother, all your ordinary men, let them commit around sins. We know God so well. We have seen God. Heavens have opened for us. Hallelujah. And God just backed off. And said, let us see what you can do with your power and might. David could not believe it when Nathan confronted him. You know, Nathan started with a parable. He said there was this poor man. We had only one son and one small lamb. All right. I prefer a small lamb. Praise God. And this man had a flock. And when he had visitors, he wanted to take that small one and slaughter. The Bible said David rose up. He was raging mad. In my kingdom, the man is dead. He was looking for Absalom. Where is Absalom? I want in my kingdom, and he was raging. They said, cool temper. Calm down. Say, calm down in my kingdom. Nathan said, you are that wicked man. When I looked at everybody, King is talking about my boys.
David could not believe. God needs to help you and I.
So the Spirit does not just help arbitrarily. You call for it. You ask for it. When you recognize your limitations, you know you are prone to this, you tell the ghost, this one will kill me, Lord. Help me now. And he will help. But when you don't go, you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness, the mountain righteousness. Until you go to hell, you will not know it. If you don't ask for help, no one will help you. Am I communicating? You need to ask. So it's the Spirit. It's the source of victory is the Spirit. That is what Romans 8 was just simply telling us. The source of victory is the Holy Ghost. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It says, say to Zerubbabel, thus saith the Lord, not by might, not by power. So any of you that think that by your sabiness, by your training, by your whatever, I can stay okay, you will never be okay. Of course, the basic reason why you are born again is the principle of justification. Because you came to God acknowledging that nothing good is in you. Praise God. And Paul said in Colossians that as you have received him, continue what? Also. That continue means that you are always dependent upon him for salvation. You must consciously be aware that nothing good can come out of you like that, except the Holy Ghost helps you. Am I communicating? He that is born of the flesh is flesh. He that is born of the Spirit is what? The Spirit. Every day you must be born of the Spirit. Every day. Whatever comes out of you. Remember in Matthew chapter 7, it said many will come on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Those are manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Am I communicating? Those are manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. You do not raise the dead. They even went beyond the manifestation. We built great things. We did great works in your name. And he will tell them on that day. He said, I don't know you. And I've told us the word know is the same word and Adam knew his wife. Amen. Adam did what? And what did she become? Pregnant. And after the period of time, she gave birth to a child that looked like Adam. Praise God. So when you brought forth those things, God went to look at it and said, this thing does not resemble me. And walked away. Say, but Lord, I'm your wife. All of you know that we are his wife. You say, all of us like that. I'm his son. But you also know that we are also wives. I bet you agree. Wife, Noah, the bride. So I'm a son of God. What does a bride do? What is the work of a bride? It's to bring forth children. That's why we married. Submission. Just give me. Let me see. Let me go. So if after 3 months you come and we check, we scan. Equal, you have okay. She understand. If you don't quickly have, if your son does not budge out immediately, your in-laws will give you problem. Especially in Nigeria. Glory to God. Amen. Am I communicating? So God comes around and impregnates you with what you are going to give birth to. Because you have stayed in fellowship with him. It's born of the Spirit. So when he checked and said, I didn't birth this thing. It was birthed by self-will. Self-will. You can use gifts by itself. That's why Jesus did not use by itself. Even when he was passing by and blind Bartimaeus was crying, Jesus was not deaf. He heard him, but he did not hear. He did not respond because the Spirit has not spoken. I don't know whether you understand me.
The Spirit did not speak. So, and I believe that Jesus was the Holy Ghost. Alpha. She didn't attend to him. And God did not say, and he kept on going. And the Holy Ghost prayed, and I said, go and answer him. That's when he stopped. You know that he was deaf. They were telling him, Jesus, this guy is shouting. He didn't answer. I don't know whether I'm talking with you. He was dependent on the Holy Ghost. He did not do anything out of self-will. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You can burst a thing out of self-will. You can struggle and say, me, I will not commit sin. That act of I will not do it is already a sin. It's presumptuousness. You have said that you will not rely on God. And by the cause, he still puts his trust in the arm of flesh. So anything you do that you cannot say, Lord, help me, that you cannot be dependent on him, that you cannot cry for the Holy Ghost to come. That's what they call the communion. What do they call about communion? Why is it there? For church service? The Holy Ghost is not for church service, as it were. The Holy Ghost is to help you live. Amen. So when we say the life of the Spirit, he's the only one that can teach you what it means. I can't interpret that to you. I can only say, live in the Spirit. And I know by asking many of you, what does it mean? You'll be looking at me like, what? I don't know. Some of you think that it's coming to church. Only the Holy Ghost can interpret what it means to live in the Spirit. So if you live in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We don't know whether you are spirit born until we see how you respond to the flesh. I don't know whether you understand me. All of us can speak in tongues, but I cannot be too sure of where you stand until I see you respond. It's a response, and I know that you have life. It's a God kind of life. And one of the manifestations of his life is not the breathing. It's how does he react? He said he sends his rain upon the just and the unjust. If it were me, I hear I want just the budget. They will know that I am God if I don't punish them. Do you follow? So how do you know I have his life? See how I respond both to the just and the unjust. How do I respond to hurt? Do I remove my shirt and say, eh, Amy? Pastor church, would you say, Pastor, here, Amy Nonja? When we go WW something 30 wo. Eh? Me okay, eh? Praise God. Praise. Are you with me? How you respond will tell me whether the life is there or it is not there. And only the Holy Ghost can help you. At that point, when your body is vibrating, you should pray a prayer, Lord, I'm in trouble. If you don't help me, I will enter flesh. And you'll be surprised how he will, like he did with Abimelech, how it will stop you. That's when grace will appear. That's when grace will say, no, don't go. And you find that there will be energy for you to be calm. I can't calm down. I don't know. And I say, bros, oh, react in it. The ability to react has been taken away. Not because of self-will, but because the Spirit helped you. So that we can say, the Lord is my helper. The desire of God is to be... See, when you say God is Alpha and Omega, it is not a song. No, it should be a reality. It was one who gave you faith. It was one who gave you the power to walk in the faith. It was one who is going to conclude it for you. Your own is just to appear and stand there. Sure, you don't understand. He wants to be the one to initiate it. He wants to process it. He wants to finish it. Your own is just to say, Lord, use me. That's all he wants from you. But when I say, Lord, I like you, thank you very much, I'm born again, I can handle myself. Is that where we are going? I'll meet you there. Let's go. Presumptuous sins. It's very, very subtle and very dangerous. But God will help us. His desire is that we can overcome. Let me finish with that thought. That's all you, First Corinthians 15. The law of sin and death. Well, we have read that sin and death thing. But let us finish with that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we read. You know that 1 Corinthians 15? Which verse? Let us look at Let's speak the thought. I'm closing now. Let's take from 51. I'm closing. Praise the Lord. My time is up, but I'm closing. Behold, I show you a mystery. You know why it's a mystery? Not everybody will understand it. And one of the things about you being a member of this family is that you have access to mysteries. This part of your inheritance that you will understand. Amen. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Verse 52. He said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 50. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. 54. First, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass. This is the last prophecy that must be fulfilled. The saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is thy victory? In other words, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just oppose this with chapter 8 from verses 1 down to 4. I understand how in Christ the Holy Ghost came. No, just told them, say it is for your benefit that the Holy Ghost should come. When Jesus was around, he protected them from harassment, from tax collectors. Storm could not overcome them. They could not drown. They were eating free food. Look, man, nothing was as good as having Jesus around physically. But for Jesus, I've said, it is in your best interest I go, that the Holy Ghost may come. That means there's something about the Holy Ghost that you and I must understand. Hallelujah. I want to beg you today, please. I'm not lowering the importance of the anointing of the Spirit. Please, that is not what I'm saying. What I'm trying to do this morning is to help you see another dimension of His ministry. Are you with me? This reality will not come to pass without the Holy Ghost. It's not something sovereign like that. It's a process that we must go through. Hallelujah. And so if you yield to the Holy Ghost, you will not fulfill the dictates of the flesh. It's a yielding. It's conscious. You know what you are prone to doing. You know the sins that easily beset you. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. You need to bring this man and say, Lord, help me. I need to stop this thing. Help me. You'll be surprised. I'm telling you, you'll be surprised. I'm not putting a timeline, but you'll be surprised that those things will fall away. They will just fall away. And you'll look back and say, but I used to love food, but now there's no desire for eating in me. You'll see the food and said, and people say, it is food, especially those of us that love dodo. It is dodo. I said, Kosagbara. There's no strength again in you again. Do you understand that English? There's no strength in you again. There's no strength in you again. You know? Praise God. You're just looking at it. Then you can say, all things are what? Passed away. That is a prophetic declaration that must come to pass in your life. That you can say, all things are passed away. It doesn't come automatically. Yes, at the new birth, some of us experienced it. That you didn't just come and you didn't just something just die. But not everything will die. Are you with me? You still have to deal with some issues as you grow in this faith. And those things can only be dealt with the help of the Holy Ghost. So that God can say, as He said to Abimelech, it was me that prevented you. Amen. Can we bow our heads to pray? What do you need God to prevent you from doing? What are those presumptuous sins that you are prone to? I know some of you may not even, you may like this sin. That is something you must confess and tell God, God, you know me that I love this sin. If I left to me, I will not give it up. But because you've said I should give it up, I'm asking you to help me. If you leave me alone, I will not give it up. That is being honest with God. God said I should give it up. God said I have to obey. God said I have to stop sinning and start obeying him in this area of my life. But you know that you have tried before and you have failed. You need the Holy Ghost. This is an important aspect of his ministry to help us. It's called the Spirit of Grace. Lord, I need grace to overcome this area of my thoughts. I'm having problem with this thought. I can't just stop thinking these things. I can't just stop liking these things. I can't just stop desiring these things. I'm having challenges in this area. Lord, I need help. The psalmist said, let not presumptuous sins have dominion over me. Paul said it in Romans, said, sin shall not have dominion over you. It is the program of God that sin will not dominate you. Like it dominated Cain. He doesn't want it to dominate us. Some of us could be anger. We are prone to anger. Some of us are prone to curses. We curse. Some of us, we are prone to self-pity. Some of us are prone to fear. Because fear breeds unbelief. Some of us, we are prone to all kinds of funny things. We are prone to many things that is wrong. We need God. We need Holy Ghost. As powerful as the Holy Ghost is, this is an area that we need to see his power. We need to see his power in this dimension of our lives. Lord, help us. Holy Ghost, help us. Look upon us and help our weaknesses. Look upon us and strengthen our hearts. Look upon us and help us to say no to ungodliness and unrighteousness. Look upon us and turn our hearts away from beholding evil and doing that which pleases you. Give us the spirit of obedience. Walk in us. Many of us were trained to be disobedient. You're a born rebel. You were born as a rebel. Once you hear, do this, something within you will rebel. You need the Lord to bring deliverance to you in that area. You need the Lord to touch you. The Bible says, it is he that walketh in you. He does that by the Holy Spirit. He walks in us. Lord, do this work in me. Purge me. Cleanse me. Help me. Father, we thank you. Help your people, Lord. Help your people in the different areas of their needs. Help them. Holy Ghost, help us. We don't want to perish with the world. Help us. You know our weaknesses. Help us. The Bible says by faith, these men were turned from weaklings into mighty men. Satan has boasted that it is not possible. Lord, don't let the enemy gloat over us. Don't let him rejoice over us. Samson was presumptuous. He assumed so much. But we don't want to go that path. We want to live a life dependent upon you. Help us to keep saying no. Help us to be conscious when a trap is set for us. Help us be conscious when the temptation is before us. Help us to be conscious, to turn away and turn to you. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday, 6 p.m. Sunday meetings, 9 a.m. Grace be with you.